You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Lee Tome.
Advertising has always been about how much can you talk about the brand, make the logo 10% bigger. People are smart about how they can avoid advertising at all costs. So you have to present them with a story they want to hear and then use the brand in support of that story.
Creative director Lee Tome leads entertainment company Alchemy X's branded content division. Concepting and creating strategically grounded non-traditional work, Lee works with brands to develop content platforms spanning episodic short and long-form films, experiential and interactive. He has a 10-year career as creative director and copywriter in the agency world, with extensive experience in brand storytelling that blurs the lines between entertainment and advertising. Lee has done global campaign work for clients like Samsung, Google, IKEA, Outback Steakhouse, JBL, AB InBev, and Microsoft. Notable career highlights include his work for Samsung, including Reframe This Space, a home decorating show hosted by design influencer Emily Henderson. He also shook up traditional outdoor advertising for Outback Steakhouse, causing a commotion and frantic 911 calls with flaming billboards to promote the brand's wood-fired grill offerings. Lee, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, Nick.
You know, I'm thinking in the hundreds of episodes of On Brand, I'm not sure we've had anyone on who, at least knowingly, has had their work prompt 911 phone calls. So in the absence of a logical beginning to our story here and our time together, I have to go with the 911 calls. What happened there?
It's funny, when you started to introduce that, I just smiled to myself. I did that years ago. It's probably been 8 years ago. It was earlier in my career. Outback, you know, it's traditionally been seasoned and seared. That was always their thing. And then when I was at Deutsch, they came to us and said, hey, we have this wood fire grill and we want people to know about it. And they had a billboard by and 110 billboards across the country that they needed a billboard that said, hey, wood fire grill, Outback Steakhouse, you know, off at exit 11 or whatever it needed to say. And that was basically what they thought they were going to get. And my partner and I at the time, we were concepting and basically, you know, my creative director at the time said, yeah, that's what they want. Just give it to them. And so we had three different layouts for, hey, Woodfire Grill, Outback Steakhouse, come and get it. You know, kind of the standard.
Right.
But while we were concepting it, you just joke around. When you're concepting for things, it's inevitable. You're going to say something stupid just to keep it fun and light. And we said, wouldn't it be funny if we actually had real flames on this billboard? And we laughed at ourselves. We said, that's stupid. That is so stupid. It would catch on fire and burn down. And then there was just kind of this long pause. And we looked at each other. And we said, what if it did burn down? And then we just kind of went, wow, what if we just faked it burning down and did this whole thing? So we presented to Outback Steakhouse. The CMO at the time was a guy named Mike Caput, who used to be CMO at Burger King during the crazy Burger King era of the King. And we presented him the normal billboard concepts, you know, just standard off at exit 10 type stuff. And then in the back of the deck, which I always love to put something crazy in the back of the deck, he just kind of thumbed through the deck, and we didn't even present it. He just thumbed through the deck in his paper deck when we were using paper decks back then. And he goes, what is this? Tell me about this. And we just said, look, it's a billboard that looks like there's real fire on it. and it's burnt to hell. We designed it. My art director designed it to look like it was just it is smoldering, and we had a great line that said, "Wood fire grill, good for steaks, bad for billboards." He loved it. He loved the idea. In fact, the addition to that was to create a fake fire fail video, because fire fails were a big thing on YouTube at the time. So we filmed in LA, we built this huge billboard, and then we lit it on fire and had it explode. And we filmed it actually with an iPhone. We filmed it with four different cameras at all different levels. We ended up using the iPhone footage. And sure enough, it looked like an iPhone fail. And then we kind of seeded it around the internet, and people are going, "Oh my gosh, Outback screwed up. They burned down this billboard." And then once we let it out of the bag, like, no, it's a gag. Then we had 110 billboards around the country that looked like they had been on fire. And then we actually had seven along the Eastern Seaboard that had LED lights that looked like they were smoldering, and it had smoke coming out of it. And even though we warned all the fire departments in every single city that we were doing this, in Atlanta, people kept calling 911 and saying, "There's this billboard on fire." And the local news, local CBS station or something in Atlanta, came out and did a stand-up interview in front of the billboard. And they played 911 calls. It was this great little, minute and a half segment on the local news. And the reporter literally stood in front of the billboard, and she finished her segment that says, "Wood fire grill, good for steaks, bad for billboards, Outback Steakhouse." And we just, and that was the local news, but because right. it was in Atlanta, a producer at CNN saw it and put it on CNN. So when it hit CNN, it just went nuts. So we got a lot of attention for that. It was pretty fun.
That's amazing. And it's one of those little things that, forgive the metaphor, it's a little spark that just keeps burning into a wildfire there.
Well, I mean, we were trying. You always try to get as much attention as you can, and we knew that we had potential, to create a conversation online, and that was always the intention. But it did really blow up, to use the metaphor again, once it hit CNN, and we really had something.
Well, there's so many great takeaways from that story. First of all, I think there's so many creative things that you can do with outdoor. I think people view it as expensive. I think it's older media, but it really forces you to do something impressive. And I also love the lesson of the back of the deck, of having an idea back there, because I think it's handy, even if you don't present it like you did, of just having it on hand, because you might need it, and then just seeing where things end up going in the end. So we kind of backed into your story a little bit. It reminds me of the storytelling principle of starting in the middle without the traditional exposition, which is what we did. And this idea of brand storytelling has really taken off, probably in your career from your agency life onward. It's really probably grown up as a thing, even as you were out there doing it. Now it seems like everybody's talking about it. At the risk of sounding like a trite interview question, what does brand storytelling mean to you?
For me personally, just because these are the things that I focus on daily, we try to tell not just brand stories, where we're saying, this is the story of X brand. So if it's Samsung, we're not just saying Samsung does X, Y, and Z. We're trying to tell a story that people want to hear, and we create content. We create stories that they want to hear that are tied loosely to the brand, but it's more of a story that people want to hear. Because it's not advertising. It's like we did the home decorating show for Reframe the Space. That was a story that people wanted to hear. Hey, finding an old space and then redesigning it to be something new. The brand came in as a support of that narrative, rather than the narrative being about the brand. And I think that's the real transition. Is advertising has always been about how much can you talk about the brand, make the logo 10% bigger. And I feel like that doesn't, those rules don't really apply anymore just because people are onto us. You know, advertising, you can smell it a mile away, and people are smart about how they can avoid advertising at all costs. So you have to present them with a story they want to hear, and then use the brand in support of that story, and, or they're just not going to pay attention. So tell a story they want to hear, and then have the brand as a character in that, but not the main character.
So talk a bit more about that relationship, because I think that that is fascinating, because I think, like you said, we've been found out, but a lot of times we still are in the, I love the logo 10% bigger mindset as a shorthand for that mindset of it's about us. How can we make sure they know? And I think sometimes that's where people have misconceptions about storytelling, about, oh, it's our story. It's what's on the about page of our website. How can we make sure as many people know that as possible? So what steps do you have for kind of reframing that thinking for an organization of we need to come at this a different way?
Yeah, I think it starts from a good strategy. And a good strategy develops a good message. And as long as you can deliver a brand message, then you're successful because the brand message stood out. It can't just be about your logo. It can't just be about your product. It has to be that thing. You know, good strategy always answers a question. It always finds the insight and offers your product or your brand as the answer to that. But you have to deliver the message that says that without just saying, hey, X brand, Acme brand. It has to deliver the message of a brand. And that takes smart strategy, where a strategist can look at, you know, not only our brand, but our competitors, and find out what makes us special. And then you can boil that down to a singular message, a strategic message statement. And then you take that statement and you have to weave that into the overall narrative of your creative, of your content. So if we're talking about, I can't think of an example, but if you're telling a story, if it's a music video, right? You can't just hold that. You just can't hold the product. You have to find a message that relates to the brand and weave that into the music video without making it about the brand.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And again, it's about that relationship, and it's a very careful kind of it's a hierarchy almost, isn't it?
Well, it has to be. You have to use your brand. You have to put your brand narrative in there elegantly. Again, you can't force it in there. It has to feel organic to the. It has to feel like it's a natural part of the overall story, the overall narrative of whatever the content is. If it doesn't feel like it has a reason to live there, then it stands out as just as much as a banner ad would. Like, what is this thing doing here in my face? But if you make it if you know your brand message, if you're really secure on that very clear brand message, and you're able to weave that into the narrative of your content, people don't care that it's an ad. They know that they're being advertised to, but they see why. They see the natural narrative accompaniment. And so it's fine as long as the content is entertaining or educational, and they're getting value out of it. The fact that there's a brand in there supporting that narrative, people don't really care. As long as it's something that they are engaged with, that they can engage with, that they want to share with their friends or post on their channels or whatever else, if they find it engaging when that comes from entertainment and education, they don't care that, you know, there's a soap brand right there. It doesn't matter.
Hey, On Brand listeners, Nick Westergaard here. This is usually the point in the show where I mention that I'd love to speak at your next conference or corporate event. However, given current circumstances, most live events are being postponed or they're moving to virtual events. All of my keynotes are available virtually as webinars, including new talks on marketing in times of crisis and on virtual communication itself. As a listener of the On Brand podcast, you know I can keep an online audience engaged. I've also conducted countless global webinars and online education programs. Learn more now at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's Nick Westergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So in thinking about brand storytelling and the world that we find ourselves in right now at this very moment, has how we change stories or has how we tell stories changed in light of the new normal that we find ourselves in?
Yes. I think we have to be, you know, we're everything we do now, and this is probably where month two, everything we do now, we have new parameters. A, is it appropriate? And certainly we have to look at that. I think sometimes we get a little too cautious in what we do. But yes, you have to be aware of the situation. And is it appropriate? That's one thing, you know. And the other thing is, can we produce it? We're constant right now. I'm working on projects where we have to be really creative and like, how can we do this without, you know, shooting in a city? We're shooting at all, really. Everybody's seen all the commercials that look like they were shot at home. It's because they were shot at home. There's so many agencies and production companies that are figuring out how to make commercials that were shot at home. And we've been doing them, and we've been doing them well. There's just new ways of thinking. You have to think about, hey, how can we create things when we can't really shoot things right now? So,
well, I think there's something about hooking into where people are at right now with the stories. I was blown away by the another shot on the iPhone of the L'Oreal video with Eva Longoria dyeing her hair at home. And here's a celebrity, the last person you think would be dyeing their gray roots. And, you know, I talk with so many people that this is a very real concern, something they're working on. And I think that that's on one level such a simple story, but it really speaks to kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely new insights to be had. You know, when you talk about L'Oreal, yes, Eva Longoria is at home and she can't go out to get her hair dyed, but so is every other woman in the world right now. I think it's, yes, being aware of what new concerns and the new insights. You have to look at who is your target audience and why do they need my product? Why would they want it? What can I offer them that somebody else can't? And L'Oreal looked at it and said, look, people really want to dye their hair. They can't go out. Eva Longoria probably needs to do that too. Let's show them that they can do this themselves. That's a natural storyteller. That is the new normal that we have. Everybody's experiencing. So tell the story. I think it's a perfect way to talk about a brand without talking about a brand. It's, hey, we're having this problem, but here's how we solve it.
Well, and talking about a brand without talking about a brand, it gets back to that hierarchy that you were talking about earlier of, a lot of times our mindset is that the main character in my brand story, which is almost why sometimes I think that label sets people off on the wrong path of brand story. It's my brand is the main character. And what you noted earlier is that your character is your main character is who's struggling with something. The brand is hopefully a helper along the way, but it's Eva Longoria as a proxy for everyone else out there with gray roots, and the brand is the someone they meet along the way who's able to help them transform that scenario that they're in and set that story on a new path as a result.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same strategy that I think has been done over and over again throughout the history of advertising. Create a need, create a question, create a problem. You don't have to create it. You just have to recognize a problem and then offer your brand or your product as the answer to that. And people say, yeah, I need that. Or I want that. it's an easy thing. That L'Oreal video was about a person, Eva Longoria, who had a problem and she needed to fix it. It just so happened she used L'Oreal to fix it.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of people with problems, that sounds like a daunting beginning to a question. But we're sitting here, and it is in May, and something else that's very topical are our graduates that are entering an uncertain world of work. And you have, I think, by all accounts and from your bio and your work and everything else, a fascinating career. And it's one that, as we've talked about, has kind of changed as technology's involved, as people being overexposed to traditional ads has evolved. In thinking about those wanting to get into work like this, what do you think have been some of the most important skills, the most important preparation that has helped you, Lee, end up where you are today?
Well, first of all, I think I was, I first started in advertising. The digital revolution was just getting started, or the advertising world was just starting to embrace it. It was, one of those things where everybody said, "Oh, we need an app, or we need a website that's interactive." So when I came into the industry, we first started in the agency world. Nobody is going to let you do a 30-second spot. It's just not like the old stewards, the old creative directors. Those are they're just going to go, "No, those are mine." They're not going to let you play with those toys. They may let you sit in, but they're not going to let you play with them. So when I first started, those men and women who were the old hand creative directors didn't really understand digital. So that's how I got in. It was to say, "I understand digital and I can do these things for you." So they're like, "Cool. Get in there, make me look good." And then they just kind of let me do my thing. But with that opportunity, I always tried to push what you could do. I always just wanted to make cool things. I just wanted to make it as cool as possible. So you take your opportunities, and it really is, it's that last page of the deck kind of idea. And I always try to bring one of those to the table. Come to the client with a client presentation and say, "Here, this is what we talked about. This is what you want. But wouldn't it be cool if we did something like this?" Always push for the thing you love. As creatives in the industry, you're always thinking, "Man, this would be so cool if they would let us do it." So try and like get them to do it. 95% of the time, they're going to laugh at it, or they're going to say, "That's really cool, but we're never going to do it." But the 5% of the time that they do go for it, and I've had several things that you just go, "This will never happen," but it ends up happening. Push the envelope, push yourself, do the thing that you would want to see. I learned from a creative director a long time ago when I was at Ogilvy. He said, "Always try to make the thing that you can show the people that you grew up with, people not in the industry, and have them go, 'Wow, that's really cool.'" And I always try to do that. And when I make something cool, I send it out to my friends that I grew up with, who are construction workers and doctors and lawyers. And when they say, "Wow, that's really cool," I know I hit it. So always try to push it.
That's great. You should grab that snippet. This is your virtual graduation speech that you can send out to people. Because if I think there's a big takeaway, several of them in there, but definitely one is I think we all know those moments that we hear in our inner monologue. "That'll never work. They'll never go for it." All of these, we're great at producing these reasons for why something won't happen. But I think your career, your stories are filled with all of those times when it has. So maybe instead of shunting those off onto some sort of list of wishes that you have one day, maybe shunting them instead to the back of the deck is a better path for ideas like that, for great things.
I'll tell you though, the secret to that is you get a lot of young creatives who go, "Wow, this is so cool. I want to do this." But they forget the other half of the equation. It can't just be cool. It has to be smart. It has to be strategic. It has to be something that, yes, it's really cool, But why is it cool? If it's cool just because it's flashy and it does something new and exciting, and yes, you throw a logo on there, that's not smart. It has to be, you have to have a reason to be. And the biggest part of that is, well, it has to work, but you also have to defend it. And if a client is sitting there going, you want me to pay how much for this? And you can't defend why it's smart, they're never going to do it. So it has to be cool and it has to be strategically smart. If you can do those things, you have a lot better chance of getting something made that you never thought would get made.
That is an important, I won't even call it an asterisk because that makes it sound like a footnote. That's a very important instruction on the back of the deck ideas, because I'm sure, rewinding back to that story when that went into the Outback meeting, I'm sure you at least had some answers to, because that would have some pretty big implementation implications. And it's going to prompt a few questions. I'm sure you had a few answers teed up there.
Yeah, and honestly, in the looking back on it, it probably wasn't even as strategically smart as I thought it was. You know, I still was a young creative, and I thought, yeah, we're just gonna light something on fire. We knew we had a good message. Of the smart of it was Outback Steakhouse, Wood Fire Grills, good for steaks, bad for billboards. We had a good line, and yeah. It's like, how do you get people to pay attention and read that line? That was the only real strategic smart part of that idea. So it wasn't the strongest strategically. I'll be honest with you, it really wasn't. But we had a really great client who wanted to do just really cool stuff. He wanted to make Outback famous. So that he saw that and he went, yeah, let's do this. So we had fun with that one.
The rest is history, and where there's smoke, there's fire. I had a good line. I had to use it.
You've been waiting on that. I see it.
So as we start to wrap up, Lee, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
You know, there's been a couple. I say this because they've just been really smart in how they do it. I think the State Farm stuff that is on the Michael Jordan documentary has been so smart and topical and clever of how they've been able to address a production problem of, hey, we can't shoot anything, but we have this captive audience that is tuning in every Sunday night to watch the Michael Jordan documentary. We know who this audience is, and we know we can get them to pay attention to a commercial just by tricking them into thinking this is an old clip of Kenny Mayne talking about, hey, in 20 years, we're going to make a documentary out of this. I thought that was really smart. Those commercials, everybody keeps talking about them. And I think the really, really smart part, you know, that was weird, but is that now everybody is looking for those commercials, those Kenny Mayne spots. And so they treat the color of the letterboard the same way. And so now they're showing actual insurance commercials, but people are looking for Kenny Mayne. Now they have an audience paying attention to insurance commercials,
right?
Just because they're going, oh, here's another State Farm commercial, and sure enough, there's an insurance commercial, not Kenny Mayne. But then they'll show you a Kenny Mayne commercial the next time around. It's just really, really smart. I know the people that did it, and they're just really, really, they're great creatives.
Love them. Lots of great example of great stories, content, but also, like you said, kind of training your audience too. And they could move some things around and teach them a bit as well. Lee, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, I would first say go look at Alchemy X website, alchemy-x.com. That's a really good place to see what we do, because we're not just a production company. We make reality TV shows. We do VFX for HBO and Hulu and Netflix. Really big time VFX. We have a huge department of VFX artists that are doing great things. We shoot commercials. We do post on it. And then we have my division, which is branded content. I came to Alchemy X because, you know, as a creative, if I can think of an idea, I can make it in-house. Whereas when I was at agencies for years, if you think of an idea, a script or a crazy idea, whatever, it burned out on a billboard, you had to go to a production company and say, hey, how can we pull this off? I don't have to do that at Alchemy X. If we come up with an idea for a brand, I just walk across the hall, or in this now, I do a Zoom call. And I just say, hey, this is something different. I have this idea for a reality show or a documentary or whatever we want to do. And then the different departments can go, yeah, we can do that. And I can do it more efficiently than anybody else. And then, you know, if you want to see my work, you can always look me up online. But yeah, that's where you can see me.
Awesome. Sounds like a great start. And we'll link up to that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Lee, thanks for being on brand with us.
Nick, thank you very much.
And a reminder, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.